were out there visiting. I'm going to be starving. I said, I got to get something to eat. And I told Matthew, I said, I'm going to go into Walmart. I'm going to get a prescription. And he was going to do something else. I said, because he was going to eat later. I said, when I get there, I said, I got to get something to eat. So I'm going to go in Subway and Walmart. How many have eaten at Subway and Walmart? It's not there anymore. I was so disappointed. When I get hungry, Brother Zukowski. I was disappointed. I said, where's my food? Where's my Subway? I came back to the car and I was like, to Matt, I said, I didn't get it. He was on the phone talking. And so I said, look, I got to go to Chipotle and get something to eat. I got to go to Chipotle. So I went to Chipotle and we walked in the door. By that time, Matt was in with me. We walked in the door to Chipotle. I don't know if he's going to watch me eat or what, but we walked in the door to Chipotle together, and there's all the food there. There are all the workers there, and I'm like, I want a big burrito bowl. And I was going to get the extra tortilla on the side, make me a and she's like, we're not serving right now. I said, you're open. You got the food here. What's wrong? Well, our register is down. I said, well, why is the door open? Everybody's coming in. She said, oh, no, we're not allowed to shut the door. I'm thinking about food again. Like, where am I going to get food? What's, then I'm thinking, wait a minute. Something's going on here. I can't get food anywhere. Something's going on here. Oh, I remember John 4. I have meat to eat that you know not of. And here's a girl, a little girl, 19, 20 years old. Her name is Hope. She's waiting on me. She's telling me this. And I got her name, and I said, Hope, can I ask you two brief spiritual questions? And I asked her, if you died today, are you 100% sure with a good reason that you're going to heaven? She wasn't. And if you were to die today and stand before God, and he were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? And she, did she know? I don't think she just knew. She had no idea. And I was able to give her the answer to that. She prayed to receive Christ, and her smile just lit up. She beamed. And you know what she said to me? She said to Matthew and I, she said, I am so glad you came here today. I needed this. And you know what? I needed it too. And suddenly, I wasn't so hungry anymore. I was hungry enough to go to Burrito Loco up there and get a nice burrito up there, but it took me another 15 minutes to get that. But you know what? I found out something. I found out that is the best food of all. To have divine appointments and not to miss those divine appointments. And that's what happened to Jesus. And Jesus, before taking his road trip, when he went on this traveling thing from Jerusalem to Galilee, he was praying about divine appointments. Let me say something to you. If you're going to be like Jesus, you should pray every day wherever you're going, Lord, show me my divine appointments today. Lord, prepare my divine appointments. You know, the other day I did the soul winning visits on Thursday and I typed them all out and I prayed. I said, Lord, prepare divine appointments. And I gave the visits out and I messed up on typing. I messed up on the date. I did everything. I'm not a good secretary, you know, and I'd messed it up. But one thing I did do is I prayed for divine appointments. And you know what? I got a call from Brother Steve. I got a text from this one and a text from that one. This many got saved. We had so many saved Thursday night. It was awesome. I can't wait to hear tonight the report on that. But it was such a blessing. And why? Because God had divine appointments prayed for and ready for us when we went out on Thursday. And that's what you need to pray for. And that's what you need to ask God for, like Jesus did. And he found this woman. And then you need to realize your divine appointments and be ready. And don't be, quote unquote, out to lunch when they come to you. The other day, about 3-4 weeks ago, I went to Dr. Kaz up here. And for 30 years, he's been trying to get me to take a blood pressure prescription. He says, well, drop your blood pressure. You need to drop it. You're up there. Well, when it went up to 207 over 107, I said, I better get in there and get it. My mother nagged me to take the test, you know, and my mother nags me. I always do it eventually. She wears me down. I took it. I went to the doctor, and I told him I haven't been taking it for 30 years. I said, you've been prescribing. I take your prescriptions, I smile, and I never fill them. And I said, but I tried to eat better and do this and do that. I said, but for 60 years, I didn't eat right. So, you know, that's not going to reverse it at that point. But it protects it when you eat good. It puts a coating over it so it doesn't cause a heart attack. So that's the good stuff. No. But it doesn't take that blood pressure down. So you can still get a stroke, a heart attack, you know. So anyway, he said to me something that stood out to me. He said, hey, it's not the end of the world to take one pill. I thought about that. I said, yeah, okay, well. And I decided to get the pill, so I did. But then I thought later on, I thought, he said to me, it's not the end of the world. I said, that's a divine appointment for me. And he made an appointment to come back. And I went back the other day. And I planned to talk to him about what he said. It's not the end of the world. And I told him, and he took my blood pressure. He said, 120 over, you know, 80, something like that. He said, you really brought it down with one pill. I don't even have to give you a second pill. He said, that's really good. And I said, you know what, doc? I said, you converted me to take it. And I said, you know what? You said something about the end of the world last time. It's not the end of the world. I said, you know what? I'm teaching in the book of Revelation in Sunday school on the end of the world. And I want to talk to you about the end of the world. And I want to ask you, can I ask you two brief spiritual questions? He goes, sure. And he sat right there. This is a doctor who has patients. You know how they're trying to get, they got to go. He sat right there. He was all ears. I asked him the question. He said, I try to do good to my fellow man. I try to help people out. And he does. He's a wonderful doctor. Dr. Katz, I highly recommend him. And I said, Dr. Katz, I said, 95% or more of the people I talk to give that same answer. And I said, but Jesus said the broad way leads to destruction. Many there be that go that way. I said, can I tell you how God says you could be sure to go to heaven? He said, yes, sure, go ahead. I went through it. He said, that was so clear. You made that so clear. And I said, well, that's what you need to do. And I want you to do that because I want you to be saved. I want you to put your faith in Jesus, that he paid for our sin. And if he paid for sinners just like you all over the world, then if you put your faith in him, you will surely be saved because he doesn't lie. And he said, you made that clear. And then I said later, I said, you converted me. He said, you know what? You've converted me. And I hope that's true. Pray for him. But that was a divine appointment. I'm finding they're everywhere. But I find out that like the disciples, so you and I so often, you miss those divine appointments and you've been missing those divine appointments that the Lord has for you, and the Lord didn't miss his divine appointment. And so what a blessing that was when the Lord at Samaria not only got the woman at the well saved, but just like some of you that are leading people to put their faith in Jesus, so other people come with them. That lady that came up to me today with Kelsey, somebody else must have led her to the Lord in our church. Not sure who it was. Yeah, I know you, but who led you to the Lord? Whoever that was, you know, did their part. And Jesus led the lady to the Lord, and then the lady brought back all these men, and Jesus and the disciples were able to give them the word. You see? That's what should be going on. Every week, new people should be coming if we're not missing divine appointments. Amen?
Amen.
He had 60 on his bus route. He had 20. Thank God for those workers. You're not missing divine appointments. But some of you are. Maybe you're out to lunch when we had soul winning yesterday. Maybe you're out to lunch when we had... Maybe you wanted to do something more important to you. But there is nothing more important. There is nothing more important than getting people safe. And it'll make you happy. It'll make you joyful. And it'll make them joyful when they get it. And so you should recognize your divine appointments by seeing the Lord's divine appointment while he was traveling. Number two, by seeing the value of one. And this is in Acts chapter 8. The value of one. Acts chapter 8. There was a man who was a deacon named Philip. There were seven deacons in the church at Jerusalem. And deacon Philip was a soul winner. Amen. I believe every deacon ought to be a soul winner.
Amen.
I believe every pastor ought to be a soul winner. If he's not a soul winner, he ought to get an honest job. He ought to make an honest living and get out of the pulpit. I believe every deacon ought to be a soul winner. And I frankly believe whatever your ministry is, you need to be a soul winner. I could say, well, my ministry is to teach and preach the Word of God and pray, so I don't go soul winning. No, that's not going to cut it. And whatever ministry you have, you should be soul winning. You say, why? Because souls are dying every day. They're going to hell. And so here is Philip, and he's a deacon. And the Lord leads him to go to a city of Samaria. And he's preaching in Samaria the gospel to those people in Acts chapter 8 in verse 5 it says. And what was the result when those people got saved? Listen to me. When you get saved, I used to think, you teenagers, I used to think when I was a teenager, I'd sit in church like you guys are and I'd be bored out of my mind sometime. And I would say, man, I'm not interested in this. I want to get out of here and get something to eat. But I would be thinking about, I'll get saved and accept Jesus when I have one foot in the grave and another foot on a banana peel. That's what I would think when I'm really old, because I don't want to go to hell, so I'll get saved then, whatever that was. And I thought it would be boring. I thought it would be just a terrible life, the worst life I could ever live. If you told me I was going to be a preacher back then, I would say, that's like the death penalty. Give me a gun. I'm going to kill myself. I don't want that. But you know what? You know what I have in what I'm doing? I have J-O-Y. Amen. Joy. Jesus first, others second, you last. And given the gospel, you know what gospel means? God's good news. It's good news we got, not bad news.
Yep.
It's good news. You can live forever. You can live forever with Jesus.
Yep.
Man, when I was a kid, I wanted to fly. Do you know I'm going to be able to fly? Literally fly. It's good news.
Yep.
But here's the thing now. Here's the thing. They were rejoicing in that city. People were getting saved in that city. And an angel speaks to Philip. That's pretty cool. And he says, I want you to go south. I like going south. But he said, I want you to go out in the desert. And there's nobody in a desert. So he left all those people and all that exciting work, and he went south into the desert. And there was only one man in that desert. And he was riding from Jerusalem to Africa, North Africa, because he'd just been to Jerusalem to worship God. And now he's coming back and he's reading the Bible. And he's reading the book of Isaiah. And that's all that was there, just one man. But wait a minute, listen, the value of one. Jesus led one woman to the Lord.
Amen.
Hey, Andrew was led to the Lord, and he got Peter, and Peter got 3,000. Amen? The value of one. Do you know that this one man, because Philip listened to the Lord and went down there, and then the Holy Spirit, listen, the Holy Spirit prompted Philip to go and join himself to that chariot that that man was riding in. And he then recognized this is a divine appointment. He went up to the chariot. He said, well, what are you reading? Now, let me say something to you. The guy was reading Isaiah. Listen to me. Whenever you have a divine appointment, you'll have a contact point.
Yep.
And you need to talk about that contact point with that person. With Dr. Kaz, the contact point was the end of the world, and then he put a stethoscope on my heart. You know how doctors do that? They put that stethoscope and they put it on and do this to Kevin. They check your heart, right? Yeah, it's beating. And he says, your heart's beating. And I said, Doc, I have a question that will help me examine your heart. I only asked him the one question, though. I said, I have a question that will help me examine your heart. He said, really? Yeah, you know, you just examined mine. I'd like to do that. He's like, yeah. And then I ask him that question. There's always a contact point. Now, with Hope, it was food, right, at the place. There's always a contact point. You talk about that. And so Philip talked about the contact point. He was already reading the Bible. So that was easy. He said, and here's the question he asked him. Do you understand it? He said, how can I except somebody guide me? I need a man to guide me. Well, here I am. Oh, there's the contact point. He said, sure, I'll help you. It was Isaiah 53 about Jesus in the Old Testament and the prophecy of his dying on the cross for our sins. And he just led him through that prophecy and led him to the Lord. And he put his faith in the Lord and got saved. And then he saw water. He said, what doth hinder me from being baptized? He got baptized. By the way, the first thing after you get saved is you need to get baptized.
Hey, praise
You say, I've already been baptized. That doesn't count. I've got a wedding ring. I can take it off. I'm still married. I can put this wedding ring on somebody else, a lady in this congregation. Doesn't mean I'm married to her. It's a symbol that I'm married to my wife.
Amen.
Baptism doesn't save you. It's a symbol, but God wants you to put that ring on. And it tests your faith to see if you'll be obedient. And it's the first thing you need to do. So he said that, and he got baptized. Now, it didn't stop there. That one person went back to North Africa, and history tells us there was a great church started through that man in North Africa. He worked for Candice. He was a eunuch, and he worked for her and her court. He had a lot of influence. He led many to the Lord, and a church was started there. Wouldn't it be great if something great was started here during this campaign? And people that are here that are saved, you would start doing divine appointments and not missing your divine appointments, and you'd recognize them. You need to see the value of one. You need to see, even while you're traveling, while you're trying to eat, that there are opportunities for you to have divine appointments, and what a blessing it is. And Philip didn't miss that. Now, I remember going to with Matt up to Oliphant here, and we went to a project in Oliphant. And we had two bus kids up there that were playing, but I saw a third kid with them playing. And I said to Matt, let's go talk to our kids, but let's talk to the third kid. And the third kid came up, and we talked to him, and I asked him the two questions. I went through the gospel with him. He prayed to receive Christ. And I said, now, where's your mother? We want to talk to your mother. We went to talk to her mother. I went through the gospel with her. She prayed to receive Christ. She filled out a permission slip, and he began to ride the bus. The very next week, he came on the bus, or the very next day, he came on the bus. Thank God for that.
Amen.
And then Miss Diane followed that up, and she confronted them with the question, clarified it, confirmed their faith, and went through it and got them to commit to come to get baptized. Amen. They came to church, got baptized, and joined the church. Well, then that didn't stop there. Brother Zukowski had a youth night with all of his workers, and Miss Diane's in that, everybody who was in that, and they got from Matt's route, 16 kids to come out to that youth night. 16 kids. And they came out to that night. And from that, I was up there the other week, a couple weeks ago. And this same kid that we led to the Lord, he had friends. And those kids wanted to race me right after I'd fallen on your route. Remember that? They were racing me around. They had other kids that they wanted to meet. And I'm just saying to you how exciting it is that from one can come so many.
Right. Amen.
But that's how God works if you don't miss your divine appointment. If you miss your divine appointment, the value of one, you not only miss the one, you miss other people. And Brother Steve, our deacon, was up there yesterday going up there in that same project in Oliphant because of that. You say, Pastor, what's the bottom line? You need to recognize your own divine appointments. Have you been doing that? Have you been recognizing your own divine appointments? Have you been taking advantage of putting the uniform on after you get saved to get baptized? Perhaps there are some of you here today, you need to recognize your divine appointment to be here so you could be saved and go to heaven. Amen. And then you need to recognize your divine appointments when we have Saturday soul winning. That's another opportunity that you could have. Sadly, I want to say this to everybody here. I believe sometimes food is distracting you from divine appointments. I believe shopping can distract you from divine appointments. I believe work can distract you from divine appointments. I believe family duties can distract you from divine appointments. I believe having a good time at birthday parties can distract you from divine appointments. And I'll give another one. I believe having bad times can distract you from having divine appointments. But do you know what? In all of those things, God has divine appointments for you.
Hey.
If you're ready. If you realize that's the main reason why you're here on earth and not in heaven, if you're saved. So listen, you should recognize your divine appointments. Number one, by seeing the Lord's divine appointment while he was traveling. Number two, by seeing the value of one with Philip in Acts 8. And number three, and finally, by seeing opportunities in your worst moments. It's Palm Sunday today. Jesus was given adulation. Hail, Hosanna! And they threw the palm branches down. That man's King, King, save us. You're the King of Israel. Save us from the Romans, you know. Save us from the Romans. By the way, I want to be saved from the globalist George Soros, the New World Order. That, there's nothing wrong with that. But more important than that, I'm saved from hell by Jesus. And they didn't understand that. They didn't understand it. Unless Americans understand that, even if we get saved politically, we're still going to go to hell in a handbasket. So that's my highest calling. And here they are giving him that adulation. And just a couple days later, do you know what they were saying to Jesus? They were saying this about him. They said, crucify him. Crucify him. And they did. Finally, Pilate turned him over to the soldiers, and they led him away, and they crucified him. He let that happen, didn't he? And there he's hanging between two, in Luke 23, two malefactors. Malefactors, I just define that as bad actors. He was being crucified, the innocent, beautiful Son of God, with blood streaming down. He was being crucified between two bad actors. And they were both ridiculing him. And they were saying, you religious, basically, you religious hypocrite, you know, you're this great teacher, and you're no better than us. You're up here hanging on the cross. And then one of them heard him say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then that same man that had been ridiculing him heard him say, Mother, behold thy son. And he pointed to John. Now, he couldn't point, but he meant John, the disciple. And then he said, Son, speaking of John, behold thy mother. Here he is at his worst moment physically. He's in terrible pain. He's dying. Have you ever been in terrible pain? I had cramps the other day. I was in pain. I was grimacing over. I think it was a bad burrito I ate. That happens to me. I love burritos, and sometimes I get a bad one. I was in pain. I thought I was dying. I felt like I was dying. When you're in that kind of pain, what do you think about? One thing, get me out of this pain. Right? Get me out of this pain. He was thinking about those that had crucified him and them getting saved. He was thinking about his mother and taking care of her. And then that malefactor who was a thief, he looked at Jesus and he saw he is the Messiah. He is the Savior of the world. He is the King of Israel. He recognized it. And that's, you have to take a second look at Jesus and change your mind about him and recognize that you need him as your Savior. I would to God that you would do that today. And right there in his worst moment of pain, the Lord had a divine appointment, and that man was ready. And he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. So he knew Jesus would have to rise from the dead to be king of the world. And so he believed, and Jesus said this to him. He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He was saved that right then. He died and went to paradise. The other thief that didn't recognize Jesus and didn't call upon him to save him, he died and went to hell. He's still in hell right now. The other thief is still rejoicing with Jesus in heaven. I wonder how you are in your worst moment. I want to tell you where I missed one this week. I was in Wegmans. My wife is traveling. I had my car. I had a busy day soul winning. I was out all day. I was very tired. I had to get some supplies. I had my car keys. I'm looking for them right now. They're not with me. I had my car key, big wad of keys and all my keys. And I'm on the phone. Somebody's calling me on the phone. I took the call. I'm talking to him. Even as I'm checking out, I'm talking to him. I'm checking out, doing all that, making the payment at Wegmans. Marion, you know about that. It wasn't Marion. It was another nicest lady. And I checked out and I went out and I went to the car and I put my stuff in. I couldn't find my car keys. I said, oh, no, I put them in the basket. I had one of those little baskets. I finally said to the person, I got to get off the phone. I got off the phone. I am running around the store with people with baskets, women with baskets. And I'm saying, ma'am, do you have keys in there? No, I don't. I'm going to guys. You got keys in there? No, I hope you find them. Finally, I went to the guys that take care of the baskets. The guy said, I'll help you. I'll look at all the baskets. He looked at every basket. He couldn't find them. Finally, I said, I don't know what, this is a bad moment, and I was kind of wrought up, and I wasn't doing right with God because I wasn't where I should be. I just wasn't. I missed it because that was a bad moment, and I was visualizing, like, what's going to happen? I need these keys, you know. And finally, somebody said, well, go to the girl that does the courtesy desk. It'll come in there. So I went to her, and she was very nice, but no keys came in. She said eventually they should come in. I'm like, oh, okay. So I still went around asking people for keys. Finally, I said, I'm going to have to go home. I'm tired. My wife's car's at home. I'll get her key. She's got one key. I can use that. I'm going to call Matthew. I called Matthew. Matthew said, Pastor, whatever you need. And then Matthew said to me, he said, I'll do it. He said, but Pastor, can I pray for you? And he prayed and asked God, and he begged God, literally, for mercy, help him find those keys. Got off the phone with Matthew. I was walking out to the car because I was going to check around the parking lot. And I come up to the back of the car. No sooner did Matthew say amen. And there in the trunk are the keys. And I took off out of there and went home. I did go back and tell the lady, but you know what? I missed the divine appointment. You see it? The lady I should have told. The other nice lady that checked me out, she came over. She wanted to see if I was all right because she heard me talking on the phone. And she thought, this nice man, I want to help him out. But I missed it. That was a divine appointment. They come in your worst moments. They come when you're traveling, they come when you're eating, they come at all kind of opportunities. And I'm saying to you, we miss them. And this is the way the Lord works. Now, let me just say this in closing to you, and that is this. If you're a believer and you know the Lord, are you recognizing all of your divine appointments? Not just do you come out on Thursday. Are you recognizing all of your divine appointments? Listen, it's exciting whenever you go out to know that the Lord has people for you. Divine appointments for you. He's going to use you. He's not going to use angels to do it mainly. If he does anything with an angel, it's to tell you to do it. It's for you to do it. And I wonder today if you'll be honest and say, yes, I have sinned. People's blood is on my hand. I miss divine appointments. I'm not being the guy. Listen, don't have people's blood on your hand because you miss divine appointments. I want to say one more thing. Some of you are here today and you're not 100% sure with a reason from the Bible that you're going to heaven. But I do have a Bible verse that says you can know for sure that you're going to heaven. I know 100% sure I'm going to heaven. You can know that. There was a time when I didn't know that. Listen, you have a divine appointment. You're here so you can hear that if you've never heard it. And you can be saved today through the one that died on that cross to save the world, was buried and rose again. And he is the one that you are appointed to hear about. And you're hearing about it today and to believe upon him. Let's close in prayer, every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder today if you say, Pastor, I'm a child of God. I hear what you're saying with my ears, and I know I have missed more than one divine appointment. And today I want to do what your message said. I want to start recognizing and taking advantage of divine appointments. I ask you to pray for me, but would you raise your right hand if that's you and you need that today? Amen. Amen. All over this auditorium. Amen. I believe it. All right. You may put them down. Anybody else that's a believer, I need prayer, Pastor. I didn't raise my hand, but I want to get right on this thing called divine appointment. Anybody else? I don't want to miss you. All right. Let's pray together. Father, I do pray for them that you would help them today, and that this would be, just like for me, a year to change on being sensitive to the Spirit for divine appointments. Now, I want to ask something else. If you're here today, are you 100% sure that you're going to heaven with a Bible reason? If so, would you raise your right hand?